This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Musk wants Twitter. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Friday, April 15th, glad you could be with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
The world's richest man is offering to buy Twitter for $43 billion. Hear how the approach from Elon Musk also had a hint of humor.
The man accused of injuring more than 20 people during a shooting spree in a New York City subway is being held without bail.
On the health front, the FDA has authorized a breathalyzer test to see if we have COVID. It can be performed in doctors' offices and other testing sites.
And the most loyal audience at the movies these days? Young men.
But the movies that are really performing, and I would say performing better than practically anything else, are those that are appealing to a specific demographic, which are teenage boys and young men under the age of 30.
Eric Schwartzel at the Wall Street Journal on Morbius as the latest film attracting the most loyal audience. The flagship of Russia's Black Sea Fleet, the warship Moskva, sank from damage suffered from a fire. How that fire happened is a matter of which side you believe. The cruiser sank following what the Ukrainian military said was a missile strike targeting the vessel. But Russia said the source of the fire was unknown. However, said flames had set off explosions of ammunition on board. A statement by the Russian Defense Ministry said the ship sank in stormy weather due to structural damage as it was being towed to port. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby.
We do assess that at least some of the crew members evacuated the ship and were placed aboard other Russian Navy ships.
The Wall Street Journal says the loss of the Moskva represents a significant blow to Russia's military and compromises security for its entire Black Sea fleet. Russian ships in the Black Sea have been used to fire cruise missiles at Ukrainian cities since the war began 7 weeks ago, targeting infrastructure, fuel depots, military bases, and civilian administrative buildings. One big reason why Ukraine's nimble fighting force has surprised the world by fending off a much larger and better equipped invading army is because of NATO training. Ukrainians and their Western advisors say through classes, drills, and exercises involving at least 10,000 troops annually for more than 8 years, NATO and its members helped the embattled country. It's a story by Dan Michaels at the Wall Street Journal, bureau chief in Brussels, home of NATO. Dan, what did you find?
I went into this with a sense that NATO and countries in NATO had helped Ukraine modernize its military. What I learned is that it was much more extensive than I had realized and probably than most people had realized, that since 2008, when Russia invaded Georgia, and especially since 2014, when Russia seized the Crimean Peninsula from Ukraine and then backed an uprising in the eastern part of Ukraine in Donbass, NATO countries have gone full out to help Ukraine's military, and not just the soldiers, but everybody up the chain of command to the defense minister and members of parliament who oversee all that.
So you said, too, in the piece that Ukrainian soldiers were sponges for NATO training. How come?
Ukraine's been fighting a shooting war with Russia and its proxies in the east, in Donbass, since 2014. So Ukraine has some of the most battle-hardened soldiers in Europe, probably the most. There's a war going on in eastern Ukraine. And the Ukrainian soldiers are fighting for Ukrainian territory. And so they wanted to learn how to be better soldiers and how to fight the Russians who have taken or have helped Ukrainian rebels take Ukrainian territory from the country. And so they want it back. And so they wanted to fight and they wanted to know what NATO and NATO countries were willing to tell them.
We're speaking with Dan Michaels, bureau chief in Brussels for the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called "The Secret of Ukraine's Military Success: Years of NATO Training." So some of the Ukrainian soldiers, I guess, at one time were familiar with old Soviet style Russian training. How are things different for them now? What's the primary difference between what Russia does and what Ukraine does militarily?
The main difference is how orders are conveyed and how much initiative soldiers are allowed to take. The Soviet model is very top-down, command from the top with little explanation and little freedom in how to execute those orders. The Ukrainian approach, Ukraine as part of the Soviet Union had previously used that model that the Russians are still using, and really until 2014 continued using it. And what they got from the US, from the UK, Canada, other NATO countries, was what is called mission command, where commanding officers, as the label says, give a mission to the soldiers, and then it's very much up to them to execute the mission without being micromanaged. And for example, some of the Ukrainians I spoke to said that Russians who were captured didn't even know why they were in Ukraine and didn't know more than, for example, that they were told to drive to, from point A to point B and await the next order, and wow, without any context for that. And that's not how Ukraine's operating now.
Boy, and did you say Ukraine trained with as many as like a dozen countries?
Yeah, there were, I think there were maybe 8 NATO countries that took the lead on the training. There were various programs or strands of the training. And then each year there was a US-led exercise called Rapid Trident. And those exercises sometimes included up to a dozen countries.
Thanks, Dan. Dan Michaels, bureau chief in Brussels for the Wall Street Journal. What is next for Twitter? Tesla CEO Elon Musk has offered $43 billion for the company and threatened to sell his stake if the social media platform balks. The offer from the world's richest person was not only disclosed in a federal filing, it was also laced with humor, as the offer was for $54.20 per share, a veiled marijuana reference. He spoke at a TED conference in Vancouver.
One of the things that I believe Twitter should do is open source the algorithm and make any changes to people's tweets. If they're emphasized or de-emphasized, anyone can see that action has been taken.
Twitter said its board would review his proposed buyout. It's also weighing a so-called poison pill, a legal mechanism that would prevent Mr. Musk from significantly increasing his stake in the company. It's the latest turn of events. Just last week, he disclosed he had acquired more than 9% of the company and indicated his would be a passive stake. He quickly amended his plans to allow for the possibility he would go active, then accepted an offer to join the board, then said this week he would not join the board after all.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PC and tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. A federal judge has ordered that the man charged in the Brooklyn subway shooting will be held without bail. 62-year-old Frank James yesterday was charged with a terrorist attack against a mass transportation system. In a brief hearing, Mr. James said nothing beyond telling the judge that he understood the charges against him. He's accused of carrying out the attack that left at least 29 people injured, including 10 with gunshot wounds, after he donned a gas mask, threw smoke grenades, and opened fire on a train Tuesday morning in Brooklyn. Mia Eisner-Grinberg is serving as a public defender.
We are all still learning about what happened on that train, and we caution against a rush to judgment.
Meanwhile, the MTA, which operates the subway system, has not provided an accounting of malfunctioning subway surveillance cameras, which hindered the manhunt for Mr. James. City Council members yesterday demanded a full audit. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
On a day that saw Moscow suffer a stinging symbolic defeat with the loss of its Black Sea Fleet flagship, Ukraine's president hailed his people for their resolve since Russia invaded in February. Volodymyr Zelensky told Ukrainians they should be proud of having survived 50 days under Russian attack when the invaders gave them a maximum of five. Meanwhile, the U.S. continues to review sanctions on Russia. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
The president is actively looking at how he can deal with the fact that as we seize these assets, our goal is not to give them back. Our goal is to put them to a better use than that.
The world's largest yacht has been seized by German officials because of the vessel's association with a sanctioned billionaire with Kremlin ties.
Number two.
New York State has become a new COVID epicenter because of two new versions of the Omicron variant that appear even more infectious than the BA2 subvariant that has become dominant in the U.S. But White House coronavirus response coordinator Ashish Jha says so far hospitalizations haven't surged.
The good news is, again, infection levels are reasonably low. We know how to gather together safely now. If you're going to see somebody high risk, get a test before you do that. I think if people continue to do those kinds of careful things, we can definitely get together over the holidays.
The U.S. is averaging nearly 33,700 COVID cases a day, up 22% from 2 weeks ago. Governor Ron DeSantis has signed into law a 15-week abortion ban that shortens by more than 2 months the current window available to legally terminate a pregnancy. The new law, which goes into effect July 1st, makes no exceptions for rape, incest, human trafficking, or mental health. The ACLU of Florida says it will take legal action against the legislation. The average salary in the major leagues rebounded to $4.4 million on opening day, boosted by a frenzy of free agent signings before and after the 99-day lockout. New York Mets pitcher Max Scherzer, with a record season salary of $43.3 million, earns more than all the current players on the Baltimore Orioles combined. The average salary up nearly 6% from the start of last season.
And yet fewer people are going to games or watching on TV.
Well, so some money somewhere.
Go figure it out. Thank you, Jen. High interest debt can put you into a financial hole, and a lot of people are too embarrassed to ask for help. That's where Upstart comes in. Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date, whether it's for paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses. You can even receive funds in as fast as one business day, from $1,000 to $50,000. And checking your rate at Upstart has to be the easiest process ever invented. The questions are simple, the drop-down boxes are user-friendly, and the application took less than 5 minutes. In addition, all your responses are encrypted and do not affect your credit score, so you have complete security and privacy. Don't wait. Check your rate today at upstart.com/Gordon. That's upstart.com/Gordon to check your rate today. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Again, upstart.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Sorry, ladies, your money is no good here, apparently. A new set of heroes is saving the day in Hollywood. Young men. Studios have resumed releasing big-budget films over the past year, and the ones that make the most money are those that draw out young men and teens. Hollywood reporter Eric Schwartzel at the Wall Street Journal has been looking at data. Eric, what are we learning?
We're learning a big takeaway of the post-COVID movie-going landscape is that young men are really the only demographic that we can count on to show up for releases time and time again. You know, obviously, Hollywood studios and theater chains really suffered during COVID and when COVID shut down auditoriums for months at a time. And as the studios have tried to get consumers back into the habit of movie going, they've been releasing all kinds of films. But the movies that are really performing, and I would say performing better than practically anything else, are those that are appealing to a specific demographic, which are teenage boys and young men under the age of 30. Women are not returning to the theater in the numbers they were prior to this, and older audiences, unsurprisingly, aren't as well.
What is it about the teens and the young adult males?
Well, you know, I think one thing is certainly this was a pre-pandemic phenomenon, which is that Hollywood's just making a lot more movies for them, right? There's a reason why we have so many superhero movies, so many action movies. These are the kinds of films that before COVID were drawing out these kinds of audiences. And I think post-COVID, what we've seen is that there's actually a little bit of psychology at work too, which is that this is a demographic most willing to venture back out into public and assume any risk there might be with going out in public, even as COVID cases decline.
We're speaking with Eric Schwartzel, Hollywood reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His story is called Morbius is the latest movie drawing Hollywood's most loyal audience, young men. So, I don't know, is the approach just too bad, ladies?
You know, unfortunately, I have to say, I mean, the good news is there are more movies being made now. Just because of the rise of streaming. And there is, I think, a marketplace that is looking more and more like there's something for everyone. But I was very struck when I looked at the numbers because, you know, the movies like The Batman and Spider-Man, these are movies that are really making hundreds of millions of dollars at the box office. And you tend to think that when a movie hits that level of ticket sales, that they must be drawing in all kinds of audiences. And to some degree, that's true. But pretty consistently, these movies, The Batman, Spider-Man, Uncharted, they are drawing in, I think, something around 60% male audiences. And oftentimes, a third, a third of all ticket buyers are men under the age of 30. Mm. So really over-indexing relative to their population. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it will become a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? I mean, if women start to think more and more that Hollywood isn't releasing movies in theaters for them, it's just going to lead them to look on streaming services more readily than they might have otherwise.
Also of note here, these are kind of big budget films. What happened to the small independent films? Where are they?
Well, I have to say, we can't blame COVID for that. Those were really going the way of extinction before this. And it really has a lot to do with the global marketplace and just how important it is to make movies that can sell tickets around the world.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Schwartzel at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect? The taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome to Friday, April 15. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Elon Musk proposes to buy Twitter. The flagship of the Russian Navy in the Black Sea has sunk. Ukraine claims credit. A jury convicts a British ISIS fighter of murdering American hostages. San Francisco Chronicle says 88-year-old California Senator Dianne Feinstein is having memory problems and is no longer fit for office. New memo says New Jersey cops can use marijuana when off duty. College basketball analyst Dick Vitale is cancer-free. And the online backlash against poodle hybrids. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Well, it's crunch time, as in time to finally crunch your numbers, if you have not yet, because tax day is Monday. Here are some last-minute tips from Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, set the scene.
Part of the reason that this year is, you know, there's a lot of pressure or incentive to get it right is the IRS is backlogged. And if there are mistakes in your return now, it's going to kind of fall into this limbo world of IRS processing while it's doing this backlog stuff. And what happens is, what happens if your return from last year is still getting processed, but you want to file your return now and get your refund now for this year? Well, the IRS says when you come to the field on your adjusted gross income for last year, just put the $0 in there. And that will, you know, hopefully make it okay. This especially applies if you are, you know, filing your own return electronically. One of the ways that you'll have to authenticate yourself is to say what your last year's return is. And here's where you would put in the $0.
Oh, wow. We're speaking with Andy Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. He's written about some last-minute tax tips. What about cryptocurrency and those related taxes?
What I always say whenever I talk about crypto and taxes is, number one, be aware that the IRS is keenly aware and keenly wants to know about crypto holdings and all the gains that are being reported, because it says there's people aren't, not everyone is being 100% candid, they say. So they really want to know, and they really want you to be upfront. They have this question asking, at any time during 2021, did you receive, sell, exchange, or otherwise dispose of any financial interest in any virtual currency? Everyone has to answer yes or no. And some of the scenarios where you say yes include, you know, when you get it as a payment for good and service, or you sell it. Other no's are, you know, if you never got into it, or if you just held on to it and did nothing. But they want a yes or a no.
Wow. What about filing an extension? What are those ABCs?
Yeah, the ABCs are definitely do it. If you have any inclination, do it. Well, actually, let me step back. The extension is more time to file your return. It's not more time to pay any taxes due. If you don't have money to pay the taxes due, you can set up an installment plan. The IRS will happily, you know, make that work so it gets its money. But the reason why it's important to file an extension is the penalty on a failure to file is actually stiffer than the penalty on a failure to pay. It's 5% for a failure to file, 5% of your unpaid taxes. On a failure to pay, it's 0.5%.
Wow.
So you see, you know, it's kind of an unforced error a little bit if you're not filing this extension. You're just, you know, that's money that you're coughing up just with, you know, and you could just avoid that with an extension request.
And boy, I know I experienced it with helping my mother-in-law file her returns. Don't use paper. I think she got her refund within a week by filing electronically.
Oh yeah. No, it's yes. Do not use paper to the extent you can. I mean, part of the issue is there's still some forms that come on paper, and there's bureaucracy that kind of requires you, the taxpayer, to still use paper in certain circumstances, which really stinks. But if you can avoid it, do file electronically.
Thanks, Andy. Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Coming up next, drinking at the office.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you. And to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the Windows PCs and tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything at you. Dell Technologies advisors have the Windows PCs and tech advice you need to navigate whatever you're up against. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro. As businesses work to settle employees into offices, some are pulling out the stops, literally on kegs, casks, and wine bottles, in an attempt to make workplaces seem cool. Sure, executives could simply order people to return to their cubicles, and some have, but many want their workers to come back and like it. Is the booze working? Here's Callum Borchers, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Callum, what's trending?
Yeah, it's sort of a part of the whole package of companies trying to entice workers back to offices, which is proving rather difficult. And so this is of a piece with other things like relaxing dress codes, perhaps, or maybe saying, oh, sure, you can bring your pet to work. Hey, you want to have a cocktail in the afternoon? Why don't you check out our swanky new office bar? I was amazed to talk to a large architectural firm that's based in San Francisco, but has offices all over the place. And they told me that most of their clients right now are asking for in-office bars, often picking up the tab for their workers too. And it's all part of this idea of like, hey, you know, the workplace is maybe a little edgier, a little cooler than you remember, or at least it's better than your couch. Come on back.
Wow. Goes without saying. I mean, there would be risks associated with this.
Yeah, I mean, listen, for a lot of folks, the Mad Men era is a bad memory, right? That was the sort of the cultural touchstone I kept hearing when I talked to folks. Some people kind of romanticize having that decanter of brown liquor on the bar cart in their office, but that was a pretty lousy time to be a worker for a lot of people, right? Women, people of color. So we don't want to go back to that. And of course, Me Too more recently really underscored some of the risks. I mean, how many times did we hear about some creep who, you know, propositioned a colleague after having won too many rounds at happy hour? So there are plenty of risks. What I'm hearing from folks who do imbibe during the workday is that if you handle it properly, if you do it tastefully, it can be a way of creating a really inviting atmosphere. I talked to a financial planner in Kentucky, for example. He's in bourbon country, and so he collects rare bottles from local distilleries, and he uses it as a way to kind of break the ice with clients. And he says a lot of people really appreciate it.
We're speaking with Callum Borchers, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called "Your Office is Open and the Liquor is Flowing." So even if there's not an in-office bar, there are social hours these days too, right? After work, out somewhere, I guess.
That's right. And I think that that has always been the case to some degree. But what I think a lot of workers are finding right now, especially if they're hybrid workers, is, you know, when I was seeing people every single day, you know, we would get together in the conference room and we'd talk about our ideas over coffee, right? But now you've got a lot of teams that are hybrid, for example, and they're not seeing each other every day. So when they do, it's kind of a special occasion. And so that might mean, well, we're out to dinner together and we're having drinks. Or maybe it's an offsite, you know, some other place where, again, you know, there's wine involved. The alcohol in some cases is kind of replacing the coffee in these work functions. You know, and then you get folks too who are coming back to the office on a full-time basis or mostly full-time, and it's sort of a celebratory thing. It's kind of like a reunion, you know, and companies also want to thank them for sticking it out through a couple of tough years. And so a lot of times there are these very sudsy social gatherings when workers are getting back together. So I think what a lot of folks are finding right now as they get back out there, either full-time or part-time, is that there's a little more booze than they remember.
Wow. All right, so you referenced replacing the coffee in some cases, but and along those lines, didn't you? There was one shop, I think, that had booze available at all times.
Yeah, I thought that was a funny anecdote from a young woman in Los Angeles who is a freelance writer. And she said, you know, I just was into the office of a prospective client and was just amazed to see, like, here's this sort of fully stocked bar available at all hours. I mean, if you wanted to mix yourself an old fashioned or sip a glass of rye, you could do it with all the nonchalance of Don Draper, right, to keep the Mad Men reference going. I mean, I think that is increasingly common. I don't think anybody's advocating that workers should get hammered on the job. I don't think that's what most companies want, but I think what some of them do want is to create an environment that feels, you know, really inviting and comfortable and kind of exciting, right? I mean, we saw where it can go overboard. I mean, anybody who's watched that We Crashed series on Apple TV Plus right now about WeWork's struggles with their corporate culture can see where it can go too far. But I think a lot of people, bosses in particular, want to create an environment that their workers are going to want to come back to and not just be forced to come back to.
How about that? Callum Borchers, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save. Hey, glad you could spend some time with us. Welcome into Friday. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The storied Russian warship Moskva, whose proud history goes back to days of the Cold War, sank into the Black Sea in the latest blow to Moscow's war effort in Ukraine. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby.
We do assess that at least some of the crew members evacuated the ship And were placed aboard other Russian Navy ships.
Losing the vessel represents a military setback and symbolic defeat for Russia.
Number two.
The Justice Department has charged a high-ranking Russian legislator and two of his staffers with running a years-long scheme to influence U.S. officials by peddling disinformation to advance the Kremlin's interests. The indictment alleges the three Russians work to, quote, promote Russia's illicit actions designed to destroy the sovereignty of Ukraine.
Number three.
The logjam of trucks at the U.S.-Mexico border has finally begun breaking after nearly a week as Texas Governor Greg Abbott eased off his latest dramatic action over immigration that has gridlocked some of the world's busiest trade ports and taken a mounting economic toll. Abbott says he has reached a new agreement with a neighboring Mexican state.
Governor Campos has begun and will continue enhanced border security enforcement measures on the Mexico side of the border, both at ports of entry as well as along the border, to prevent illegal immigration from Chihuahua into the state of Texas.
The White House, Mexican government, trade groups, and reeling businesses bashed the extra inspections as redundant and a new burden on an already fragile supply chain. After Elon Musk offered to buy Twitter for $43 billion, the company confirmed it had received the offer and says its board will review it. It's also weighing a so-called poison pill, a legal mechanism that would prevent Musk from significantly increasing his stake in the company. Twitter shares fell nearly 2% yesterday, indicating skepticism a deal would happen. Much like controversial candy corn at Halloween, America's favorite Easter candy is apparently the cream-filled egg, which people also either love or hate. An Instacart poll of 2,000 people found that Cadbury cream eggs, the chocolate eggs filled with a yellow and white cream, are the most popular Easter confection in 24 states, but they also land at the top of least favorite Easter candy lists. Reese's peanut butter eggs from Hershey were the second most favorite Easter candy in the Instacart poll.
I'm all in for the cream eggs, for sure.
Okay.
Peeps, no. Useless.
No. Peeps get hard too fast.
Useless. Next gen. A deluge of doodle dogs that's been in the making for more than a decade turned into a tsunami during the pandemic. Despite typically costing a few thousand bucks a piece, poodle hybrids, which come in more than a dozen varieties, seem to be taking over dog runs across the country. Their omnipresence, though, has triggered a backlash. The Wall Street Journal says doodle dogs are beloved for their intelligence, cheerful disposition. However, doodle dog disdain is widespread on social media, with Facebook groups, TikTok channels, and Reddit threads dedicated to the topic. Zipporah Falls, a 19-year-old restaurant server in Moody, Alabama, put up a post on Reddit last year titled, "I Hate Doodle Dogs," in which she outlined how she's sick of how these dogs have become a fad. For 28-year-old Emma McManaman, a graduate student in Chicago, she broke up with a boyfriend after he brought home a golden doodle. She's now dating someone else, and this person does not have a dog. In fact, she says they are a cat couple. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.